Welcome in, everyone, to Redacted on this Thursday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And on this show, we cover the stories the mainstream media redacts or doesn't want to cover. And we're going to be looking at the border invasion from all angles, because this is a subject that probably will not come up in any great detail tonight at the president's State of the Union address. Can you imagine President Biden taking 10 minutes out to talk about the border invasion that he created? It's probably not going to come up. But if he does bring it up, he'll blame it on Republicans. But we have two special guests on the show, two excellent journalists who are really going to connect the dots on how this has all been an orchestrated Biden invasion created by the Department of Homeland Security and the Biden administration to bring hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens into the United States. You don't want to miss this. We're going to bring that up in just a minute.
Plus, new rules on X state that you will get shadow banned if you misgender somebody. We're going to take a look at those and wonder, is this the Twitter of yore, or do we have to be more careful?
Yeah, come on, Elon. Like, what? Really? Like, we're not using the proper pronouns? Remember when Elon Musk made his famous tweet that said, my pronouns are prosecute Fauci or
yes,
something?
Yes, it was that.
So wouldn't he, under his own rules, be shadow banned? Come on, Elon, get it together. What's going on over there at X? But we are streaming live on X right now, so we do appreciate it. However, we will hold them to account if they give us garbage about crap like this. Also, we're going to look at the Chinese spies in Canada. Why are bio labs in Canada having Chinese spies working at them? And why is the Trudeau government covering it up? This is what the opposition would like answers on. Why did Justin Trudeau call a snap election? It seems in order to cover up Chinese spies working at Canadian bio labs. You cannot make this up. All of that and more as Redacted starts right now. Happy State of the Union evening here. Nice to see all of you on this Thursday. Do you think the president will survive this crazy speech tonight? I mean,
politically or just like stay awake,
be able to speak. I mean, this is going to be the president's final State of the Union address. So get ready. This will be one for the record books.
I was wondering, like, will they shoot him up with some kind of hormone or what
Clearly.
Is it that you steroid?
Like, well,
they give him a bunch of stuff, don't they?
I don't know, but I want to know who the mystery guest is going to be, because if Zelenska and Navalny both snubbed him, I wonder if there's any Ukrainian or people that fought Russia in World War II in Canada he can get to show up.
Maybe any Nazis?
The Canadian Nazi. Maybe what's he doing up there?
That would be a good one.
Yeah,
right?
Bring him. Any Nazis available? Like, have the Biden administration invite him to the White House or invite him to the State of the Union address.
Now, Representative Tom Massey has said he will bring the brother of Julian Assange, persecuted journalist Julian Assange. So will other journalists in the mainstream media actually pan to him, explain to the audience who he is, acknowledge that our profession is in danger and all of our liberties are in danger as well?
No.
Or will they ignore that guy and just think he's a regular bloke?
No, I mean, if you've seen MSNBC, you've seen CNN over the past 24 hours. I mean, you had Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe, a show that nobody watches, but he was going full state media, basically saying Joe Biden is as smart as he's ever seen him. He's
the best ever, he said.
He said the best ever, most mentally agile we've ever seen him. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Literally, you're saying this? They must be on the dole being paid by the Biden administration, or they've got some deep blackmail on these
guys.
Or
maybe he has also lost his marbles, and that sounds pretty good to him, the way that Biden speaks.
Christmas bonus. Yeah, if on the air you mention that Biden is the smartest guy in the world, you get a Christmas bonus. Anyway, we got a lot of news to get to here on this State of the Union night, and we're going to talk about this border treason in just a moment. Michael Yon and Ann Vandersteel are going to be joining us here in moments to talk about the latest catastrophe and treason at the southern border.
But first, we want to tell you about about our friends over at Aura, because if you are inundated with an overwhelming number of spam calls and emails, feels like an invasion by unknown companies trying to sell you things you don't want or scam you, it's exhausting and invasive. But it turns out the data brokers are selling your personal information and making a fortune from it. So if you're feeling annoyed by constant spam like I am, it is time to fight back. And that's where Aura, the sponsor of today's show, steps in. They are a game changer. It's not just a band-aid on the problem. They get to the root of it and pull it out. They're weeding your information out of dark places on the web. It's not just blocking of spam calls and emails. They go to the source and stop these data brokers from selling your information by making sure that you are removed from these lists. It's really hard to do that yourself. That's why Aura can do it for you. There's also a bunch of other features like antivirus, VPN, password management. So try them out for yourself. Go to aura.com/redacted. Get your 2-week free trial. Again, that's aura.com/redacted, or go to the link below this video.
Well, the crisis at the U.S. southern border continues. The disaster is unfolding right before our eyes, but it seems like independent journalists are shining a light in dark places. Could be resulting in some major shifts right now among the deep state players in all of this. So all of this is facilitated. All of this is being orchestrated to bring illegal immigrants into the United States, to undermine the United States, and it's being done with the help of the U.S. government, being funded and supported by the U.S. government. Two great journalists who, of course, have been exposing what's been going on at Darien Gap, Ann Vandersteel, Michael Yon, join us now with some really big news on one of the camps and one of the locations down in the Darien Gap. You guys have been shining a light on this, getting international attention to these camps. And we've been featuring it here on the show because of your reporting. And suddenly now there's a mysterious fire and documents are going missing and government's panicking, we think. Can you guys break this down? What exactly has been happening in Panama that our audience needs to know about?
Go ahead, Ann.
So Clayton, very simply, Michael Yon has been leading an expedition down the Darien Gap for several years now. He focused in on it right after the election. But more recently, I've been joining him. As a matter of fact, we joined together during Operation Burning Edge. We kicked it off and we were on your show when we were stumbling across new information with respect to missing children out of the NGOs that we were focusing in on in Texas. Well, that's taken us back to Darien because the majority of the state sponsors of terror are moving these, quote, migrants, and they're not, that's an invasion army, through the Darien Gap up through Central America. This is funded by the American taxpayer through the United Nations Immigration organization, non-governmental organization of choice known as IOM, the International Organization for Migration, as well as other NGOs like HIAS, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. We focused closely in on HIAS when we visited one camp called San Vicente, Michael calls it China Camp. A lot of Chinese immigrants, if you will, migrants or invasion army come through there, and they are mostly men of military age. You can speak to the people down there. They will tell you that's what they see. That's what we saw. After going down there with Epoch Times, Laura Loomer, myself, Mara Macy, who's running for Congress, probably one of the only honest brokers of a congressional opportunity who's willing to report on this, we all witnessed it, saw some very suspicious people. 1 week later, HIAS locked their Twitter account. They took their sign down that was outside San Vicente camp. And then the camp mysteriously was torched, specifically the offices that have the immigration records of who have processed through that camp on their way to the United States, in addition to the agents, the immigration agents, and in addition to the Centerfront agents. So everything was wiped out, which is very, very suspicious considering this was less than a week after us being there.
That was just last Friday, the fire, yeah. By the way. The camp itself wasn't completely burned down. They targeted those records. And Centerfront actually announced, what's today? Yeah, they announced yesterday that they're doing a special investigation because they see that they believe, Centerfront basically is the Panamanian sort of border police slash almost like an army, but it's not actually an army. And they're very professional, super fit, I deal with them all the time. And three of them were badly hurt, by the way, in this riot. It looks like what happened was there was agent provocateurs kicked off this big riot. 45 people, about 250 people apparently were involved. 45 were arrested or being deported now. But they specifically targeted those records. So most of the camp was not touched at all, but those buildings burned. Actually, what I'm curious about, this is just me thinking out loud. I have no evidence to support this, but there's multiple people that would have interest in capturing those records. And it would be very easy to do that. I'm very familiar with that camp. Ann's very familiar. We've been there many, many times. It's very easy. If you started a ruckus like this, you could easily capture those records because they did it at nighttime. Escape into the nighttime and be gone with them. And then, you know, of course, make the fire looking like the records were destroyed. Because the highest, of course, would want to do this. Venezuelans may want to do it. Chinese Communist Party uses that camp as an infiltration camp. There's a lot of people that would have the motive to do this and the means.
So I guess I will follow up with that then. Michael, who do you think would want these records? What's the purpose of getting these immigrant records? These are people being processed here, as Ann pointed out. So who would have the motive? Why would they have the motivation to get these records? Wouldn't they already know that these individuals are flowing through here? They're facilitating it after all.
Let me take that just for a moment. I think there's multiple, like the U.S. government, as an example, it's clear. I mean, we've been very clear. This is a terror camp. And this is the most intense terrorist camp you've ever seen. It's more like a bus station, right? So even the United States government or the United Nations, what are they? World Economic Forum, Chinese Communist Party. Let's say the U.S. government, they have a vested interest in destroying those records or capturing those records because they don't want to see that Americans have flowed through there. Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas was at that camp on April 18th, 2022. I was physically present. I waited for 4 days and he landed in 4 Blackhawks and he was in the camp bringing $18 million more to the camp that time to expand it. So he's physically been there. They published their own photos from their public affairs, Department of Homeland Security. And then, of course, I've published images and video from that day as well. So that's one motivated partner, the United States, getting rid of the records so that, you know, when they start shooting up synagogues and golf courses down here in Florida, that people aren't saying, hey, and others would, of course, be the Chinese Communist Party.
So the idea is we want to cover our path. We want to cover our path here. These terrorists are in the United States, the tens of thousands of terrorists that are in the United States now, and we taxpayers have been paying for it, so we want to destroy the paper trail. Is that the case, Ann?
Absolutely. And let's be really clear. When Michael and I were in a car last week driving in towards Tennessee, we received a phone call from somebody inside the military who is a flight surgeon, who understands and explains very clearly that the immigrants, I'm going to use air quotes because they're not immigrants, okay? These invaders coming across our border are separated. The military is setting up what's called MEPS stations along the border at border checkpoints, border security works, Customs and Border Protection have already temporary facilities for processing. One immigrant, invader will be sent in one direction and another will be sent towards a MEPS facility for the military. Why are they doing this? They're already selecting immigrants, migrants, invaders to be processed for a pathway to citizenship inside our military. Not too dissimilar to what they're doing in California and Chicago and other cities where they're saying, hey, join us on law enforcement and we'll give you a pathway to citizenship, a gun, a badge, a job, and a card so that you can legally earn money. Now you have invaders, an army with guns, just like President Obama wanted to have. He wanted to have his own private army. They are importing it. The United Nations is collaborating. Again, we are the biggest funders of the UN through their NGO partners and importing these people from state sponsors of terror. And then you have a camp, which is a known camp where multiple Chinese of military age men are being processed, mysteriously have a fire. Now you have to also factor in that these illegal invaders are also getting debit cards for $2,200 a month from, again, the U.S. taxpayer. That being said, we know we're going into another banking collapse. It's going to be another cascading event of regional bank failures because the Fed is cutting off the spigot on Monday the 11th. When that happens, you have to ask yourself, how much longer will these invaders be allowed to have their EBT cards refilled every month? When you're cut off from your bank and we're cut off from our bank, what do you think is going to happen to the illegals when they're cut off from their funds and you can't put food on the table? This is the table that is being set for a full-blown civil war in this country that is going to get very, very bloody. And again, it's all being funded by the taxpayer who is blindly walking themselves to the gallows by allowing the federal government to fund the United Nations.
I just spoke with J.J. Carroll, a former Customs and Border Protection agent for 24 years. Supervisor. and said that
he's a serious person.
Serious, great guy.
Yeah, amazing. And he said, you know, that he used to get within a year 5 special interest individuals. These are people who are on an FBI list. These are, and out of the hundreds that they would arrest hundreds on a daily basis and send them back. 5 a year. Now 80,000 are in the United States. These are people that the United States recognizes as terrorists or ties to terrorism, and they're coming from all sorts of different countries and entry points in the United States. This is no joke, and we are witnessing it right now through these camps. So when you see this fire, this camp is somewhat destroyed. This camp, this highest camp, China camp, as you call it, Michael, that's not the end of it, right? It's now it's mutated. Where is it? Where is this mutating towards out of that one particular spot? Are you seeing other spots popping up like a hydra where these people are being processed and facilitated?
By the way, the MEPS stations, everybody who's been in the military knows what that is. That's your military in processing, right? Where they go and do the physicals and, you know, take your oath and that sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is a lot of the people that would be coming through the Darien now are actually flying in from Colombia, or they're flying in from Guatemala, or they're coming across the Canadian border. There was just a big run of people that came in here to Florida. They came up on, what was that, Jupiter Beach,
yeah.
Jupiter Beach, they're constantly doing that, right?
But they're also expanding their existing camps, like we witnessed down in the Darien, Baja Chiquito. They're expanding Baja Chiquito camp, Lajas Blancas. They're putting in water treatment facilities, which is really ironic because so many children were really sick that day we were there. Why? Because they had a pipe running down into the river where they were intaking water they were supposedly treating, but that pipe was also running right next to a waste pipe. So they were pumping waste into the river and they were sucking it right back up and supposedly processing it, and children were getting serious dysentery. So, I mean, this is, you see these NGOs with their signs and their booths all throughout these camps next to the American flags plastered right next to them, but you never see people in the booths themselves. So they get the billions of dollars to put up a sign saying, we're here, Doctors Without Morals, we're here, Red Cross, we're here, United Nations, but there's nobody there. The lights are on and nobody's home. It is disgusting the way they treat these people. It is anything but humanitarian at all.
What are you hearing from the CBP? What are you hearing from the folks that work for the federal government that are trying to stop this? I mean, these are great people. These are hardworking people. What I'm hearing on my side is their hands are tied. I mean, they're literally having to release these individuals and they're not being arrested. They arrest them, they turn around and release them right back into the system right now, into the United States, terrorists into the United States.
Border Patrol needs to, there's a lot of patriots in Border Patrol. But there's a lot of them. We're down on the border a lot. I've been all the way from Bajo Chiquito to San Diego. I've been across the entire border. A lot of that on the Mexican side and on the entire U.S. side. And I see Border Patrol people, very serious patriots, and others are constantly, I'm just doing my job, sir. Like, where have we heard that from? They actually use those words constantly. I'm just doing my job. I'm doing my job. I got to get my pension. The bottom line is, it's treason if you're helping to load those buses. Bottom line, you have to make a choice. Are you going to commit treason just doing your job, or are you going to not just do your job? You have a moral obligation to stop aiding the invasion of the United States. If you're loading the buses, you are committing treason. You're not just doing your job. You're committing treason. It's time to stop just doing your job.
What happened? Where are the men? Where are the people that are going to get down there and stop this? You know, where? Yeah,
I'm looking at two right here.
We need these men. We need these men who drive these pickup trucks, who care about their country, these American patriots, to say enough is enough. Get down here. We saw, you know, trucker convoy to get down there, and that sort of, I don't know what's going on with that, but we need people. If the federal government won't do it, this is an invasion. We are watching the country collapse right in front of our eyes.
That's it, Clayton. You hit the nail on the head. And thank you for bringing that segue up, because there are groups, there are lots of freedom groups out there that are asking these questions and they're organizing. We just were in Tennessee. We spoke to some there. I speak to these people all over the country. And before people freak out when I use the word militia, it's in the Second Amendment. It's part of our Constitution. Militia is not the word that the FBI would have you mischaracterize with a bunch of men tactical gear and face paint, running around shooting ARs off in the middle of the night. That's not a militia. A well-regulated militia is an organized group of private of citizens that are saying, hey, I'm defending my home, my state, or my county, and my country. And right now, we need to call on the militia and get the militia organized. And there's organizations out there like tacticalcivics.com that are constitutionally Christian-based groups that have over 1,600 counties covered in our country already. They need another 1,500, and we're off to the races. We have every county covered in this country, where people are going to be trained on what it means to defend your homestead, defend your city, your county, etc. This is critical that we're at that point, because guess what? Every state is a border state, and they have infiltrated, thanks to governors like Governor Greg Abbott, a WEF puppet who has 7 pages on the WEF site dedicated to him, the World Economic Forum. They've bussed these illegal invasion army all throughout our country. And by doing the bidding of the World Economic Forum and, you know, bringing this army inside everywhere, and the Customs and Border Protection agents stopping cars along the border and asking if you're a citizen, but not stopping trucks and looking inside the trucks to see if they're carrying nuclear, biological, chemical weapons or other weapons cache or uniforms for the Chinese army, that General Flynn has said we have at least 7 divisions of military age Chinese in this country right now, without doing the work that we need to be doing. We are just allowing ourselves to be lambs to the slaughter, but the people have to recognize that cavalry isn't coming. We have a woke military leadership. The Customs and Border Protection agents are just doing their job. They're following unlawful orders. We, the people, have to stand up and go, guess what? Our government is not of, by, and for us, Clayton. We need to stand up. It's not about shooting our government. It's about defending our country and our family and our God-given rights. And people need to recognize that, and they need to act accordingly. It's called civic duty.
Hallelujah. Michael, anything to add to that? I mean, I'm sure you're talking to a lot of patriots that are just fed up. And do they feel like a one-man army sometimes?
There's millions of us. There's millions of us. And, you know, the only cult that people never see is the cult that they're in, right? There's a cult. There's a just doing your job cult almost. It's sort of a made a cult. I mean, it's not really a cult. It's just a tendency, let's say. You know, people in they're basically gears in a clock, and they don't even know what time it is. You know, they're just doing their job. They're just, their job is to be a gear and turn to the right or whatever. And so they're invading their own country. And people need to stand up and start resisting. There's ways that everybody can resist. Think it up and do it.
Execute, yeah, and hopefully right? We can all come together in this. You know, we on a Tuesday night show, we highlighted how there's a long history of the United States Army at the U.S. southern border, going back to Andrew Jackson, and calling for this. You know, and the left, the liberals, made fun of Donald Trump for him saying that this was his favorite president. And yeah, we had a long history of American troops at the U.S. southern border up until World War II, until we had to go fight Nazis. And so we need to do this again. We need to get people organized and get down there to the southern border. The United States government's not doing it. The Biden administration's not doing it. And our country is being overrun. I'll get you out of here on this, guys. We talk about CBP all the time. We talk about what's happening at that moment or down in the Darien Gap. But there's not been a lot of discussions about ICE. And there's not been a lot of discussions about, now that they're in the United States, what is that group doing to go out and make these arrests? Because as J.J. Carroll points out, you were arresting people at the border, turning them around. So they were getting almost to a 0 per day influx, where they were arresting them at the border and sending them back. And then ICE, under Donald Trump, was also making thousands of arrests on a regular basis. So we were actually creating a negative flow with all of the arrests that ICE was able to do. What's going on with that right now?
Zero. I don't see anything going on. We're being invaded everywhere we look. We're not even defending ourselves. ICE, under the direction of Tom Homan, when Tom Homan steps back into that role under President Trump, God willing that we can get him back in the office, has promised me personally, and I know he said it publicly, but personally in conversations, that he will deport every single last one of these illegal invaders in the country. And it's going to take a yeoman's effort. It's going to be federal, it's going to be state, it's going to be county, and it's going to be people. We're going to be working together, and then we will have to have sheriffs who will deputize people in the county to help round these people up. Look, they know where they are. They have the ATM cards where they're sending them money. They can track their cell phones. And it's going to take people just saying, hey, I know there's a busload of migrants living in this apartment complex, and they're collecting their $2,200 a month, each one of them, while they're living for free, 3 hots and a cot, getting health and medical and education. We know where they are. People can start to ask their county commissioners, hey, do we have any illegal migrants living in this country right now? I want to know where they are. Where are they in my county? And then we stand outside and we tell them, hey, Mr. or Mrs. Illegal Invader, you shouldn't probably come outside because climate change. It's too dangerous. We'll make sure that the food somehow gets to you, but we're not going to let you out anymore. It's just far too dangerous based on climate change. Greta Thunberg told me that, and the UN backs me up. I mean, we have to turn this whole thing around on them, Clayton, and start using their words against them, because we've allowed them to bully us into the point where we have submitted to an invasion of our country, and we have to just say no.
Well, and Michael, you know what they're going to say. Yeah, I do not submit. I do not comply. I mean, that's the shirts that we sell on our website. I mean,
yes.
I know how they're going to paint us. Here's what they're going to do. And mark my words, this is exactly how the media is going to frame us and paint us. So we all need to be prepared. Everyone watching right now, this is what's going to happen. And Michael, myself, we're going to start calling out where these illegal aliens, these terrorists are holed up in different buildings and so forth. We're going to start calling attention to it when this election is done, for these individuals to be rounded up and taken back to their countries and get our country back. And what they're going to start to do, MSNBC, the mainstream media, they're going to start calling us, painting us as xenophobes, that this is what the left is doing, Gestapo tactics. You're going to see SWAT team raids to get these individuals out of the United States. And we have to just be strong about it. And we have to say, no, we're not going to stand for that. You're not going to label us that. We're taking our country back. And you can call us every name in the book. You can say that, you know, Trump is like a Gestapo army now going out, rounding up all of these illegals. And we have to be strong. And we have to remember that this is going to be the strategy they're going to use. I mark my words. I can already see Rachel Maddow's show doing this, you know.
But their accusations no longer work. We took their magic wand and calling us racist and anti-Semites and everything under the sun. We broke it and we threw it into the fireplace. It doesn't work anymore.
That's right.
I mean, it just doesn't work. Go ahead, call me whatever. I laugh at them. In fact, they dismiss themselves by making these accusations.
Yeah.
They're 100%. Not serious people.
Well, you guys are serious people, and we're thrilled to have you guys on the show doing the amazing work that you're doing, shedding a light on this story. And we hope that now the rise of independent media and what we're able to do here, what you guys are able to do, is shining a light on this. And you're seeing it on Super Tuesday vote results. You're seeing a groundswell right now, and I hope that we can take our country back and you guys leading the charge with this. And Michael, great to see both of you. Thank you guys so much, and continue the amazing fight.
Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Anne. You guys are amazing. We really appreciate it. Oh, just a little side note. Last night, we also had J.J. Carroll on the show talking about the border. We've been trying to really, really cover the border deeply here because the mainstream media is ignoring this. And I think it's the most important issue of our time. And last night, we talked about J.J.'s book, Invaded.
Yes.
We asked all of you to go out and pick a copy up and said, let's make this the number one book on Amazon in this category. And you did. And the redacted effect.
In three categories, I believe.
JJ texted me. He said, I cannot believe it. He said, the book is now number one in three categories on Amazon. That's the redacted effect. So go out. If you haven't picked up his book, Invaded, I would encourage you to go do it. And let's just keep the iron in the fire right now and let these globalists know that, you know, we don't stand for
it. We're on to them. Hey, so I just want to give kudos to our fellow readers, because readers are leaders. I love it. Thank you for buying the book. Now read it, review it. That helps the algorithm. Do it.
Yeah. Give a nice review to the book after you read it, like drop like a, you know, multiple star review, you know, I've done it. And so anyway, it's just so important. So I just want to say thank you. And it's just so important. It's not about JJ. It's really about the book. And it's about making sure that people are aware of what's happening at our border. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. We've got more news to get to here on your Wednesday. We're going to look at the Chinese spies in Canada at the bio labs. We're also going to look at, why is X changing its rules? Why is Elon Musk's X changing its rules to ban misgendering? Like, if you misuse a pronoun, really, you're going to be shadow banned on X? Come on, what's going on here? We're going to talk about that. But first, do you find yourself with a bunch of extra cash that's currently sitting idle? I mean, I talk to investors all the time on a regular basis. That's kind of what I do. I love talking to investors who are, you know, being smart with their money. And they're like sitting on a lot of cash right now. Why? Because we don't know what's going on in this crazy economy. Bank of America just issuing a crazy alert about the US dollar. So if you do have money sitting there waiting to deploy, and you're deciding whether or not to invest it in gold or silver or ETFs or bonds or something else, You could be making 8.1% APY right now if you use our friends over at Moomoo. If you open a brand new account with our trading app partner friends over at Moomoo, go to redacted.inc/Moomoo. They are offering a 5.1 APY account. That's normal. But right now, for a limited time, they're also throwing an additional 3% APY for your uninvested cash. So if you're, instead of like a savings account, you could just be parking it there, earning 8.1%. That's 17 times the national average for a savings account interest rate. Again, you're not even having to invest it in anything. Just park it there and you get 8.1%. So I love Moomoo. It stands out as a fantastic trading app with zero commissions, no platform fees for stocks, options, ETFs. It's packed with powerful market analysis features, absolutely free. For example, it's U.S. stock market earnings season, financial data, analyst ratings, all of that inside the app for free. So go there right now, redacted.inc/Moomoo, and also you're going to get 15 free stocks when you open your account. 15 free stocks when you open your account, redacted.inc/Moomoo.
Well, new rules on X warn you that you can get shadow banned for misgendering somebody. That means if somebody says they're transgender, you can't use their biological sex. You must use their pronouns or else. Now, here's the official policy as it's written on X saying we reduce the visibility of posts that purposely use different pronouns to address someone other than what that person uses themselves or use a previous name than someone someone no longer goes by as part of their
transition.
Given the complexity of determining whether such a violation has occurred, we must always hear from the target to determine if a violation has occurred. Now that's kind of confusing because they're using the word purposeful and they're going to then try and figure out, was this mean-spirited or was it not? Was it intentional or was it not? That means that you can get downranked. Now, what's unclear is then, will you otherwise get downranked or just that tweet? Now, Reclaim the Net points out that this purposeful word is problematic because how do you know someone's intention?
Right, and
did
you're going to put a whole team
mean?
And you're going to have a whole team of people now working at X, like making a determination. This is a slippery slope, right? You're going to have a team of like misgendering experts on your team and your staff that's going to like, was this purposeful that this person really specifically called Caitlyn Jenner, you know, by their biological sex rather than what they want to be?
Yes. It's confusing. And another question, though, is does it matter what influence you have? Now, this is the official policy, but just today, a post went viral that was a misgendering post. I'm going to show it to you. And I'm just wondering, was this allowed because it was J.K. Rowling? Or is it that Elon Musk is actually not willing to enforce this, as he has sort of indicated before that it is a measure of free speech? So this is a person who said that they called the police on J.K. Rowling for misgendering them on X. Watch.
J.K. Rowling has definitely committed a crime. I'm legally a woman. She knows I'm a woman. And she calls me a man. It's a protected characteristic. And that is a breach of both the Equalities Act and the Gender Recognition Act. She's tweeted that out to 14 million followers. If you check out the accounts that have been responding to me on the back of that, her trigger, it's absolutely disgusting, putrid, some of the worst abuse I've ever seen on social media. And I know I'm at the center of it, and I might be a little bit biased.
Well, what are you going to do about this?
What am I going to do about it? Well, I've been to the police, and I've reported it as an issue. I contacted Northumbria Constabulary yesterday.
So you reported J.K. Rowling to the police?
I have reported J.K. Rowling to the police for what she said, which I don't know that if that's going to be treated as a hate crime, malicious communications, but it's a cut and dried offence as far as I'm concerned. And at the end of the day, it is a hate crime. Trans gender identity is a protected characteristic, just as race is, just as sexuality is. And the equivalent of what J.K. Rowling said, calling a trans person a man, deliberately, knowing that that person is a woman, and I am a woman, regardless of what J.K. Rowling says. I've been through everything that's required of me. My birth certificate says female, my passport, all of my documents. I am legally recognized as a woman. And for J.K. Rowling to deliberately, and that is the key word, misgender me, knowing who I am, is grossly offensive. It is a hate crime, and it should be treated just as somebody calling a black person the N-word or an Asian person the P-word or...
Okay, I don't know what the P-word is for Asian people. We probably shouldn't say it. And
probably
I don't
I think
encourage...
I think I know what they're talking about.
Okay, don't write it in our chat, because you'll get our show downranked, please. If you know it, maybe you can private message me, but I don't want to. I don't want our show to like be writing all these offensive things about Asian people. I don't know it. I did not.
First of all, let me just point out that this segment is already going to be shadow banned by YouTube.
Oh, yes, already. All of our trans pieces.
Yeah, any piece we do on gender, YouTube always downranks it and hides it anyway. So we're already up against that anyway. So let me just unpack a couple of things she said there. Let me just untuck a couple of the things that she talked about there. So she says, I've been through everything that is required of me to become a woman.
Right.
Everything.
It's a checklist, basically.
Like, I went through the government offices. I filled out all of the paperwork. I legally went through everything. Mm-hmm. And now
I'm on all the hormones. I had all the surgery. Unfortunately,
Can I see your uterus?
I don't think she's got a uterus. And when she, her bones, they were dug up in 50 years from their grave, the DNA would be recognized as male.
As male, right. So, yes.
So that's not something that they can change.
So how is it a hate crime? He is a man.
It's not a hate crime. In fact, the court in the UK ruled for Myra Forstater, who was fired for saying that biology is real. You are allowed to say that. That is a protected belief. I mean, it's a fact, but we are allowed to say we believe it as fact, right, as like, well.
Are we allowed to believe facts in 2024?
Right. And so who knows what the police will do? Arresting J.K. Rowling for misgendering this person that has been shown to be a protected belief will cause a firestorm. I would love to see them try. She also had said that. I mean, I don't want anything bad to happen to J.K. Rowling at all. But she has said, bring it on. Let's see what the court said. Now, in response to this, she misgendered this person. J.K. Rowling pointed out that this person has called other trans people men before because they're gatekeeping, right? Someone who said something that this person didn't like said, well, you're just a man anyway. She posted screenshots of this. And further, J.K. Rowling says this, surprisingly for such an eminent legal authority, he, meaning that person, appears to have forgotten about the Forstater ruling, saying that this is a protected belief. As I'm aware, it's an offense to lie to law enforcement. I'll simply have to explain that to the police. In my view, India is a classic example of the male narcissist who lives in a state of perpetual rage that he can't compel women to take him at his own valuation. Now, let's revisit those Twitter rules. Clearly, this is deliberate misgendering, right? And J.K. Rowling's getting away with it. So does that mean the rest of us can? Or are these certain rules for J.K. Rowling? I'm just putting that out there for your opinion. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Well, I was going to say, I don't know if you know. So if I have my problem, this is not a defense of Elon, because I have my problems. Like, he's banned Kit Clarenberg, who's one of the best journalists. Ever since he went to Auschwitz, he's been pretty harsh on pro-Palestine. But he did say that was only for Brazil. They had to put that in place because Brazil was demanding something. And when Tim Pool said he was going to pull all of his ad dollars, which was about a $200,000 ad spend, because they were bringing this policy back, Elon said, I'm looking into it. And he also told libs of TikTok it would not affect them. So,
okay. So we're seeing that rule exists, but it is not being enforced for J.K. Rowling. And so perhaps for the rest of us.
Well, and also, okay, that's good. And then, Elon has said, right, he publicly said that he would handle this, he would handle and respect the laws of each country. And if something rises to the level of breaking the law, that's when X would take action on a particular post. So I, that's why I find this really bizarre that this is like some sort of a new policy for them, because it's not breaking the law. And like now they're going to start gatekeeping and start stepping in the way that the old Twitter used to, downranking and shadow banning. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Right. But, you know, a lot of things don't make sense when it comes to J.K. Rowling. For instance, the Wall Street Journal recently posted this article called "Can Warner Brothers Uncancel J.K. Rowling?" And I found this to be a disingenuous piece. The gist of it was that Harry Potter products are still as hot as ever, and that she is still just in, as in charge of them as ever, despite her transphobia, which we've talked about many times. She's not transphobic. I think it's more honest to call it the unsuccessful attempts at canceling. She was never canceled. She's just almost too big. So does she have her own set of rules that can then pave the way for the rest of us to have free speech, is the question I'd like to point out there to you. Now, many are worried that the very act of calling someone by the biology that they are should be protected speech, and that, again, this may be a return to the days of yore if Twitter decides to enforce this globally. Now, this week we saw the publication of the WPATH files. We've talked about it a little, and we're going to talk about it a lot in the upcoming weeks because it's over 200 pages. I haven't read it all the way through yet. They were published by journalist Michael Schellenberger in a report called the WPATH files. Now, what it shows us is that doctors know that when they are prescribing testosterone to girls, it is associated with liver cancer. They are seeing it. Like, oh, I affirmed this person's gender identity. Oops, they have cancer because I put them on this drug for it. Prescribing estrogen to boys is associated with blood clots, heart attack, and stroke. So again, we're using this gender affirming, affirming someone's pronoun, affirming someone's ideology. And it's dangerous. What they're saying is that this is hidden from us, so the people who agree to go on these hormones can't have informed consent because they're not told the true story. The report says that because, again, these harms are suppressed, these patients just don't know. Here's Michael Schellenberger talking about it.
Last year, the mother of a transgender reality TV star, Jazz Jennings, triggered a controversy after she described waking Jazz up in the middle of the night to address medical complications from genital surgery.
I have woken Jazz out of a dead sleep and taken the dilator and put the lubrication on it and said, here, you take this and you put it in your vagina. If not, I will. But Jazz is bad, even when I'm home once a day. I will be so mad if she goes away to college and that thing seals up. I will wring her neck.
I was shocked by the clip, but then didn't think much about it afterwards. In truth, I didn't want to think much about it afterwards. But then someone gave me the internal discussion files from an organization called WPATH, which is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health. We released those files, all 170 pages, yesterday. What they show is the widespread medical mistreatment of children, adolescents, and vulnerable adults. They show that WPATH members and gender medicine practitioners aren't getting informed consent from their patients. That appears to have been the case with Jazz Jennings, who was not old enough to understand the implications not only of becoming sterile, but also of never being able to have an orgasm. As such, trans isn't what many of us thought it was. It's not about liberating gay people, it's often about harming them, since a growing body of evidence shows that many, if not most, trans people would have simply grown up to be gay had they not engaged in what's called gender-affirming care. In that sense, it's actually a form of conversion therapy for gay kids. Now, we don't yet know the number of people who will come to regret their medicalization, but it could be in the tens of thousands. As such, gender medicine may turn out to be one of the worst medical mistreatment scandals in history.
Now, what they're talking about is Jazz Jennings had their penis removed and a neo-vagina put into place, and the human body sees that as a wound, so kept trying to close it as a closed wound. And the mom said, you have to go in there with lubrication and stretch out that vagina regularly or it will seal shut. Women don't have to do that. Real women don't. We don't have to.
Thank God.
Yeah, we don't.
If I cut my finger and I was just like, I have to keep this cut. I'd have to cut it every day.
You'd have to keep making sure that it doesn't. Right. And so the mom is saying,
It's got to be healthy.
My child doesn't want to do this. It's uncomfortable and annoying, and they are bad then. So if all this work that I put into getting your penis cut off and giving you this neo-vagina and you just let it close up again and then you don't have a vagina like we all wanted you to, then I'm going to be so mad. So the mom is invested in the outcome of this. It's not like, you know, when my daughter gets her ears pierced, I'm like, you let it close up, honey. Like, this is a much different thing, right? And so people were saying this was abusive. Go ahead.
So they're constructing a faux vagina, but how do they pee? Like, if Jazz lets it close up, right? And mm-hmm. like, I don't want to do this anymore. How does she pee? Is it?
This surgery continues to be revised. And so I'm not sure which version of it they had, but they do move the urethra. And so
I'm just wondering, is it like life threatening? If it closes, is it life threatening? Like, oh, now we've got to like create a way for you to urinate.
I would assume.
And you're gonna carry like a colostomy bag around with you.
It's barbaric. Yeah.
What the hell?
And then I would also assume that it's really, well, actually, I don't have to assume. We know that it's very prone to infection because pee and poo has bacteria.
All right.
And so say all right. Like, I shouldn't say that.
No, I just, yeah.
Well, all also, right. I've heard hair, like hair can grow in there too. Like,
hair grows inside.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's really hard on kids. It's really, really hard on kids.
Yeah, I mean, we're literally... I mean, this is demonic.
Joseph Mengele would be like, wow.
This is absolutely demonic. We're doing this to children, and we're just allowing this to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, within minutes, too, people can go in for, like, medication. There's a report out of Canada today, just going into one of these clinics, and within 5 minutes, they're receiving testosterone, mm-hmm. and they're receiving all sorts of information about surgeries that they can then take place and asking, they have it on hidden camera. Like, do you want to have these surgeries within like 5 minutes of talking to them?
Yes. Yeah. And these doctors are reporting like, well, I put this person on testosterone 5 years ago. Now they have liver cancer, but we're still going to help them cut their boobs off. Even though they've got cancerous tumors now. And I just wonder, anyone who they say is suicidal, which we know that's a loaded gun, this threat of suicide, but then you put them into a situation where they are highly predisposed now to cancer, isn't that also, people, you know, who have terminal illnesses also are highly depressed and prone to suicide. So which problem are you solving and which problem are you creating? And they know it. That's the problem, is they know it and they hide it. So that's my homework over the weekend. I'm going to be reading the WPATH files. Read them with me if you want. We link to them in the newsletter on Monday. If you want to read and let me know on X which things you find more shocking that I might miss, let's do it. Let's do some homework together.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got more news to get to here on your Thursday, if you can believe that. We're going to talk about these Chinese spies in Canada biolabs. What? This is a story that has gotten zero attention. And it's unbelievable, and it could be one of the biggest scandals in Canada's history, and it could bring down the Trudeau government. We're going to look at this more closely. Also, California schools paying kids to be social justice warriors? Really? So this is what their tactic is now. We'll give you thousands of dollars to go out and spread our message. Indoctrination much? We'll talk about that. But first, hey, on Monday, by the way, on the 11th, we are now looking at a major shift. We could see, of course, the Fed pulling back on this massive stimulus program. Bank of America issuing an alert. We had this in the newsletter today. Bank of America issuing an alert about the U.S. dollar, right? Mm-hmm. What did it say specifically?
That the U.S. debt, which we see over our shoulder, is adding $1 trillion every 100 days, and that is contributing to the collapse of the U.S. dollar.
Yeah. So when Bank of America says, watch out for the U.S. dollar, that's a big concern. That is a huge red flag. That explains why gold just hit an all-time high, over $2,100 an ounce right now for gold. And people said, it'll never cross 2,000. Oh, yeah? And now, and by the way, Bank of America issued an alert saying gold will hit $3,000 an ounce. So it just passed $2,100 an ounce. That's why I'm such a big believer in having at least a portion of our savings in gold and silver. And our friends over at Lear Capital is our fantastic team that we turn to buy gold and silver. They can ship gold or silver coins right to your house. You can store it in your gun safe if you like, or store it offsite in a secure facility that is protected by armed guard 24/7. It's totally up to you how you like to do that. So again, if you're interested in investing in gold, the folks over at Lear Capital will help you start purchasing precious metals today or converting part of your existing IRA. Did you know that if you have like an old IRA or an old 401k that's just been sitting there, that's still in the stock market, that hasn't been doing anything for you, and you've had it sitting there for years, they will actually help you convert it over to a self-directed IRA, and you can invest in anything you want. Gold, silver, real estate. You can do anything you want with it, actually. Crypto. We have a self-directed IRA, and it's fantastic. And it gives you the power, not the banks, not Wall Street, to control your financial future. So all you need to do is give them a call right now. Call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. And they also have a new $3,200 gold guide. It's totally free. When you call them, say, I'd like this guide, please. $3,200 an ounce in gold. They have a brand new report. You can read it for free. And if you sign up and you actually purchase precious metals through them, you can receive up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. Again, go to LearRedacted.com or just jump on the phone. They'd love to talk with our viewers. They're fantastic patriots over there at Lear. Give them a call, 1-800-613-3557. Why are Chinese spies secretly working inside of Canada's biolabs? Well, that's something we should probably want to get to the bottom of in Canada immediately. But if you're the Trudeau government, you don't want to do this at all, and you don't want an investigation. In fact, Pierre Poilievre, the opposition, says that the Trudeau government, Justin Trudeau, called a snap election in order to hide and cover up this scandal. So what is going on? Chinese spies inside of Canada's biolabs? Let's ask David Creighton, who's been writing about this at the Post Millennial, and he joins us today from Ottawa, wearing a very handsome redacted hoodie, by the way. Thank you so much for that, David. Good to see you. So what is going on here? China spies inside of Canada's biolabs? Is this just an isolated event?
Well, it's quite a story, Clayton, and I'll try to unpack as much of this as I can in an understandable manner. Because usually when you face a story like this, it's the details that bog people down. But what I believe is going on here is Trudeau's Watergate. Because the deeper people dig into this, the more ramifications and consequences it has on Trudeau's corrupt government. But just to get into what happened here, approximately between 2018 and 2021, at the Winnipeg Microbiology Lab, the National Microbiology Lab, where Canada is conducting its biological research. Most people weren't even aware this lab existed, but this is basically on par with the Wuhan Virology Institute in China. And so there's some heavy duty secret research going on here. And this lab employed two scientists from China who apparently, you know, got this job through a Chinese program that exists to hire people in foreign countries. And it's called the China's Thousand Talents Program, which once again, I had never heard of this. So these two doctors, Xing Guo Chu and her husband, Kedling Cheng, and I wanted to get these names right, were hired to work in the lab. And then what the Canadian Intelligence Service discovered was that Dr. Chu was sending back intelligence information and pathogens to China, which were being used by the People's Liberation Army, amongst others. Now, this went on for years. The two were finally fired and sent back to China in 2021. Immediately thereafter, all evidence of this, all documentation was suppressed by the Trudeau government, and Trudeau called a snap election in 2021. Very, very suspicious. Now, I'll go on in a minute about why that's very suspicious. But what's interesting here is that nobody's calling this an espionage case or spying. That's clearly what was going on. And that's what CSIS identified here, the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. They identified a pattern of spying. Nobody was ever charged with espionage. Nobody was ever charged with spying. But nonetheless, when you read what was going on from the CSIS report, that's clearly what was going on here. Now, my question is, why did it take so long to react to this situation when CSIS was aware of it? And why did the government cover it up immediately upon the dismissal of these two scientists?
So when you talk about Watergate, you talk about where this rises, who knew what when, right? That's, of course, the big questions that emerge. And how high did it go? Did the Trudeau government, did Justin Trudeau himself become aware of this and then make steps, moves to try to cover it up? I guess that's the devil's in the details here.
Well, that's exactly it. My question, though, is was there a quid pro quo? Did the Trudeau government knowingly facilitate this activity, this release of information and pathogens back to China, because they wanted Chinese election interference in 2021? Here's the connection nobody's really making, I think, except me at this point, is that in 2021, China interfered in Canada's federal election. A CSIS whistleblower revealed that. And he said Trudeau had been briefed about that election interference. But did Trudeau know about that election interference beforehand? Did he want that election interference because he knew it would help him win another election? Which, of course, it did. And the fact that China interfered in 2021 is known. That's a fact. I'm wondering whether or not there was collusion here, because this government is so corrupt and it is so seething with hypocrisy and absolute inability to be held accountable. And once again, when Trudeau was confronted with this information, what did he do? He said, not my fault. Didn't happen. It didn't happen because of anything I did. Anything that happens on a prime minister's watch is ultimately his responsibility or her responsibility. And Trudeau, once again, refuses to take any responsibility, refuses to be held accountable for this. And in fact, what does he do? He blames the Conservatives for making an issue out of this, just like he blamed Russia for inviting a Nazi to the parliamentary gallery. He's running distraction again.
He has a knack for that. Like, he does something and then he blames the Conservatives or somebody else for his problems. So Pierre Poilievre has you know, called this out. So what does the snap election piece of this in 2021 have to do with this? So he calls a snap election after this was discovered, after these Chinese spies were sent back to China. Why is that a big deal? What is the significance of that?
Well, clearly, Trudeau did not want this issue to become public before the next election. He wanted to be reelected so he could then continue to cover it up as prime minister. And that's exactly what he did. These documents have been sitting dormant for literally 3 years. And they're finally surfaced last week. And the government is now saying, oh, it's because of national security classification. Of course, that's absolute nonsense. There's no evidence that CSIS advocated for that or any security agency advocated for that. This is completely fabricated. This was a national security issue. That's why we had to bury these documents for 3 years. Now, they suddenly appear last week, but I believe Trudeau wanted a snap election because he knew he could win it with Chinese assistance. I believe that that's what's behind all of this. And Trudeau took the unprecedented move. This is what really has shaken me, of suing the Speaker of the House to not release these documents. You might recall Anthony Rota was the guy who fell on his sword over the invitation of a former Nazi Waffen-SS soldier coming to hear Zelensky speak in the House of Commons. He got a seat in the parliamentary gallery and got two standing ovations. Anthony Rota, the speaker at the time, resigned over that, saying it was all my fault. And I will take full responsibility for that. Trudeau had already sued Anthony Rota, the same individual, because Rota wanted these documents to be made public. He said, as speaker, I think I should be releasing these documents to the public. I think it's a fairly courageous thing for Rota to do. I didn't think he was really capable of that until I discovered this. So was Rota hung out to dry over the Yaroslav Hanka incident? Clearly, he was involved to some extent, but was that the opportunity Trudeau had to get rid of this guy too, because he knew too much? And how many other people know too much about this? Because just this week, the Ethics Committee, the Parliamentary Ethics Committee, wanted to examine this further. At least the conservative members of that Ethics Committee said, we need to investigate this further. Because why did it take so long to fire these two? Why did it take 3 years for these documents to be released? Why did Trudeau call a snap election as soon as these two were dismissed? There's something smells here. The Liberal and NDP members of the Ethics Committee have said, nope, we're going to shut this down right now. So when I see that, having been involved in watching politics for the decades that I have, the alarm bells go off for me that there's more here. If they don't want any investigation at all, if they want this to remain completely in the dark, then I suspect the deeper we dig, the deeper dive we make into this material, the more onerous it's going to be on this government.
I think you're 100% correct about that. I also think it probably, my gut instinct on this is that this doesn't stop with just two Chinese spies in Canada. Something else is going on here. Just like we saw this illicit Chinese bio lab in California that was discovered recently. How many other labs are in Canada that have some sort of either Chinese funding, Chinese backing, Chinese individuals working there, Chinese scientists working there in Canada? I find it very hard to believe that this just stops with those two individuals. Do you?
I would find that very hard to believe as well. But what also strikes me is, why does Trudeau keep coming up with China? Every time China is involved in something Canadian, Trudeau is involved. You have to remember, Trudeau infamously remarked that his favorite country in the world was China. He called it the basic dictatorship. We have repeated that many times. I think he was serious about that. And there's another incident that is so striking in its symbolic meaning. The G20 conference 2022, Trudeau had a brief discussion, and I call it a brief discussion, with the Chinese dictator, who literally dressed him down, told him, stop going public with our conversations. What kind of a politician are you? Don't you know some things have to be confidential? Here you go talking about our confidence. And Trudeau was literally so upset, he ran to the men's room, either to throw up or relieve himself, while his chief of staff stood there looking quite embarrassed. Yeah, and this was all captured on camera, of course. But it's like Trudeau was taking his orders from his masters in China. And there is a connection here in terms of Trudeau, how Trudeau is being used by China, and conversely, how Trudeau uses China in the electoral function. And this is the most alarming. And I do believe this could be the scandal that brings this corrupt Trudeau government down, because there's just so much here that is undiscovered. And I hope we have enough people willing to take the risk to dig deeper into the story.
See if the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, CBC, will go after this and start to investigate. There's a lot here. Let's see if the state-run media will look into it. Probably not. And of course, you know, we do remember Klaus Schwab praising Justin Trudeau. And one of the reasons he praised Justin Trudeau, we have on film, is his love of China. Klaus Schwab praising Trudeau for his love of China. So something is going on here, and I think you're right in that assessment. But this is what we know right now. These two Chinese spies in the snap election to try to cover up this investigation and keep these documents hidden, and what was going on here hidden from the Canadian people. David Creighton, thank you so much as always. I know you'll be staying on top of this story, and we will be watching it closely. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Clayton.
All right. Thanks so much, David. That's such a crazy story. And, you know, to David's point, this could be, I mean, this could be the scandal that brings down the Trudeau government. It really is like a Watergate moment right now for the Justin Trudeau government. We need answers on this. A really fascinating story. This is a story we're going to continue to follow, and we will cover it in our free newsletter. We've got a fantastic free newsletter. I'd love for all of you to subscribe to the newsletter. Just go to redacted.inc. It's the world's best newsletter. Someone wrote me this morning and said, thank you guys for this newsletter. I love waking up with it, drinking my morning coffee, and reading the newsletter. It's my favorite way to start the day, and I was just so thankful for that. And you can become a part of our newsletter, too, by going to redacted.inc, put in your email address, and then you'll receive a welcome email from me, Clayton, at redacted.inc. So you'll get an email. Might go to your spam folder. Let me just say this. It will probably go to your spam folder. It might go to your junk folder. It might go to another folder. Find that email from me and then just drag it over to your inbox. And then Monday morning, we publish the newsletter Monday through Thursday. So Monday morning in your inbox, you should receive the newsletter. You just have to confirm it, though. That's the important thing. So that's why I'm asking you to, when you get that initial welcome email, make sure you click confirm inside the email so that you can bypass spam filters and we know that you actually want the newsletter. Anyway, go to redacted.inc to sign up for our free newsletter. And we cover like four or five of the big stories of the day. And we try to really kick your day off with some really interesting information and news that you're not going to see in other places. Like this morning, we covered Ukraine. We covered what's going on with them now digging in and building fortresses in Ukraine. They're like, no, we're not going to surrender. We're going to use, with the help of NATO and the CIA, we're just going to start building fortresses. We're going to dig down and start laying cement and concrete like they did in 2014 after the CIA-backed coup in Ukraine, by the way. Mm. And then, of course, Russia just destroyed their biggest defenses around Avdiivka, which was all coordinated with the help of NATO. So they built these massive fortresses and entrenchments around Avdiivka, and then Russia just destroyed them. So this is your tax dollars going to work to build new fortresses inside of Ukraine. We covered that in the newsletter today.
All right. Well, we have one more story to get to, so let's do it. California is paying students to be social justice advocates. I just wonder how this is legal. A new report from the Free Press shows that activist groups are using taxpayer dollars to pay high school kids $1,400 each to learn how to fight for racial and social justice. Now, it's one thing to put that in your school curriculum and decide we're going to teach that, but it's another thing to say we're going to pay them and they will be sort of little warriors for this cause. That would be fine, too, if it were private money, but it's not. It's your taxpayer dollars choosing an ideology and then literally indoctrinating kids. Here's the report. It says that a group called, what are they called? Californians for Justice is paying high schoolers $1,400 each in Long Beach. And again, it's using taxpayer funds. They even published the contract, which we're going to look at in a second. Now, here's the group that the Long Beach School District has hired to pay kids in order to be social justice warriors. They focus, they say, on youth of color, low-income youth, LGBTQ youth, foster youth, and immigrant youth, which is fine. But again, why do they have to pay students to learn about these causes? Shouldn't students have a free will choice to either participate or not? Here is the contract published by the Free Press. It shows that this organization is getting $860,200 for the whole academic year that we're in right now. That is on top of what students make. So the organization, this advocacy group, is making almost $1 million. And then that is on top of the at least 78 students who have been paid $1,400, which added up to around $100,000 for participating. Also, parents can get paid this amount too to support their kids to do these activities. And in fact, in one of their, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, you know how many months of a paper route I had to do to get that kind of money?
$1,400.
Right. If only you knew that all you had to do was go out and talk about illegal immigrants and how it's great for your society and it's great for your neighborhood. Like, I know there's probably a lot of negativity around illegal immigration lately, but me at this, you know, high school, I want to tell you about the benefits of all these illegal immigrants in your community. Like, you could have made $1,400.
Right. Well, in fact, look at this young man who says that he's happy to be at this sort of rally for diversity because you get paid good. Watch.
It's so fun. You get paid good. You have a fun time, events, all of that. And it's just such a nice community. You know, everybody's just like together and bring the school together.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Now, the group advocates for things that do not represent everyone. That guy looked Latin to me, but he would not benefit from what they advocate for, which is reparations for Black people. Take a look at that. Reparations in education are possible because it's Black History Month, or it was in February. They want reparations all around. They promote Trans Remembrance Day, which we discussed at length on that day. Again, most of the trans deaths in the United States were from domestic or sexual encounters. They were not targeted hate crimes. Celebrating this day as something that we can fight with tolerance is an outright lie. They promote a ceasefire in Gaza. And look, we do too, but I don't want to pay anyone to come around to that side. Also, the Jewish community, which is big in Southern California, was not very happy with using this for taxpayer dollars to support a school walkout in order to stop the genocide in Gaza. In fact, the Jewish teachers and parents did complain about this. It came up at a school board meeting, and the group said, in fact, 6 out of the 8 speakers all used the same language because, again, this is indoctrination. They're not being taught anything. They're being scripted. They all said that they'd been targeted by racist and xenophobic harassment for their support of the Palestinian human rights. Again, my take on this is,
they don't know anything.
Well,
they're literally just reading a pamphlet that they've been
that
doing.
And making yourself the victim is no way to stand for Gaza. It's just parroted language. It's stupid. They're not being given books and said, read this and see what you think. They're being given language.
Right. Well, here's a history. Read an Ilian Pape book. Go back in history and actually study what's happened in this region for decades.
Right.
Get it from sources, from journalists who've been on the ground and studying this for many, many years. Instead, you're being paid and then given a pamphlet and then just regurgitating talking points.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
When I was going to say, just what that kid tells you everything right there. He's like, oh, it's fun. We get paid. There's nice people. He didn't say one thing about the whole entire cause that he's there for in the first place.
You get paid well. There's good food. Just a lot of people.
I'm having fun. I got some money. What are we here for?
Yeah.
I don't know what we're here for.
Now, a spokesperson for the Long Beach Unified School District. Wow, can you hear that rain? I feel like I need to acknowledge
that's
that.
That's rain? Holy cow.
Yeah,
we had some,
we had a big storm earlier,
and that's what God feels about all of this, by the way. We had hail, we had craziness earlier today, so.
Okay, yeah. That just came and went. That's our weather lately. Okay, what I was going to say is a spokesperson for the Long Beach Unified School District said that the district refers to these stipends as internships, which ensure equitable participation in this California for Justice program, embracing diverse perspectives in education. But here is what teachers said about it. One teacher said, it's helpful to hear their voice and know what they think, but I feel like you can do that with a focus group. Plus, they're obviously reading scripts that have words that they don't know how to say. The way that they're handing scripts to students, even the words coming out of the student's mouth, it just feels like indoctrination, not information. This Jewish teacher who was upset about the Palestinian walkout, he says one of the reasons they were hired is to help our students find their voice and be able to express it. But in reality, this group is not helping students find their voice. It's just giving them a scripted voice that's not their own. They're teaching them parroting, which is the exact opposite of how you empower children. Now, the group says on their own website that they have done work in Fresno and Oakland and San Jose, in addition to Long Beach. The Free Press was only able to find their contract with Fresno, where they had been paid $150,000 for their work between 2020 and 2023, but no contracts were found for Oakland and San Jose. But we saw recently that the East Bay School District near Oakland in Hayward, where my parents are from, had paid a group called Woke Kindergarten to do something similar. So we know at least that the East Bay Unified School District, that the East Bay is opening taxpayer dollars for things like this. I just want to point out that most research shows that when you pay kids to do something, they do it for less time. Or if you give them incentive, like I give you a cookie or you're going to get this thing. There are many studies that show that kids who choose to do something of their own volition, do it with more passion, do it with more investment. They are more bought in than if you just give them something. But the problem is that the language that these kids were given will stick with them, and they will just repeat it without, they're not being asked, read a book, study this thing, talk to these people yourself. No, it's just scripting. So let us know how you would feel about your taxpayer dollars going to this. Go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, if we got our ideologies and the indoctrination thing out of the way, and we just kind of like guided kids a little bit and let them do their thing, kids would solve all the problems of the world. I mean, there would be no racism. There would be no gender ideology and all this other stuff, because they don't actually at the end of the day care about that stuff. They're not like, that's all learned behavior.
Yeah.
So the more I think we can stay out of their way, the better off they are.
Right. And we had parent-teacher conferences this week, and I was talking to my son's middle school history teacher, and I said, the problem with the way that he's learning right now is you're not using a textbook, so you choose the sources, and it's this article or this PDF, and it's very disparate. And so he's not being taught to sit and read long-form content in order to synthesize his thoughts. So it's what you think that's going into his brain and you're testing him on. And then, for instance, if he does a project and I'm like, well, for instance, he did a project about border walls, and I presented him with things that she had not, and she was shocked that he was not indoctrinated in the way that she wanted him to be. And I was confused by the fact that, this is my problem, is that I don't think kids are being taught to consume long form content in order to come up with their own opinions.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, imagine if they were forced to read a few books on the subject.
Right.
I mean, obviously it's a lot to ask for high school kids, where they've got what, 7 or 8 subjects.
And she literally said, well, books have, one way or another of thinking. And I'm like, yes, but so are the so are the topics that you're choosing.
So are the sources of information you're getting from this one magazine article. Like, right, if you're presenting a magazine article or an article from the BBC, where do you think that's coming from?
Right.
It's state-sponsored media.
And it is, then it's incumbent on him to read other long-form content that he doesn't agree with. That's sort of part of my job. So I do it. I expect everyone to be able to do it if they're involved in research. Not for your whole life, but if you're going to be doing research, right? And so
yeah,
I wonder.
That's the problem with kids these days.
I wonder if after you guys walk away from the PTA meeting, it's like Happy Gilmore, where they're like, I hate those guys.
Yes.
I hate
those guys. It is like that. Yeah. They do hate us.
Like, God, man.
Yeah.
Can you just get in line with us? There's those redacted people walking in here again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for one of my teachers, my son's teacher, who literally told him that one political party was bad, and I was like, that's not your job. And then that walls don't work. And Clayton's like, oh, how come the Palestinians can't get out then? That's interesting. That
right. Walls don't work. Really?
Yeah.
Have you been to Rafah? Have you been to the border crossing where no one crosses? Yeah, the walls don't work, right? Have you seen the Great Wall of China, by the way? Anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's how we feel about things. That's why you've got to be on top of your children's learning. Make sure they're reading great books. Grab like J.J. Carroll's book, Uninvaded. Have your children read about the border invasion.
Well, we're going to read that one first before we pass that down,
yes,
darling.
Well, yes, read the book first before you hand it over to your children to read.
Yeah.
Yes, that goes without saying. All right. So thank you guys so much for joining us. We do have a Plus Club, our Redacted Plus group. We'd love for you to join and sign up in our community. Can you tell us also on the book club piece, because that's a big piece of this. So if you go to redacted.inc, And one of the things you'll find there, because we had an email from one of our Plus Club members, they signed up last night and they said, hey, wanted to know when the next like book club stuff is happening. That's all at our Redacted Plus community. Mm-hmm. Just for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you get exclusive content, you get our book club, you get live streams, and you get interviews that will air there before you will get to see them on the show or other spots. And sometimes they will never see the light of day anywhere else but inside the Redacted Plus Club. Again, for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, you can support what we do. Go to redacted.inc and click on that.
Are you asking me a question?
I was asking about the book club.
Is it my turn to talk?
Yes, okay. I was asking. I need to explain what it is first. Before you hand it to your children to read, you want to read it first. So I wanted to explain what the Plus Club is before handing it over to my children and to my wife.
I actually don't know the schedule of our books. Oh, I've read, okay. Read a lot. And so... Philip and David, do we need more now? I can film them.
We could use more.
Okay, I will film more because if we're out, then yeah, I read.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. We'll do that.
Good. Giddy up on that. All right. Sweet. Okay. And we will have some other great stuff that David and I were talking about over this week for the Redacted Plus Club. So again, thanks for your support. We are not funded by billionaires or George Soros or anybody like that. So we are supported by you and we thank you for your support. Thank you guys for a great week. We'll be back here on Monday. We've got some great content and interviews lined up for next week for you here on Redacted. Have a great weekend, everyone. Be safe, be kind to each other, and read a book. We'll see you next week, everyone.